This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's Friday. We all know the Friday things have happened. Ryan, say something. Nope, miss that. That's not you. Is that you now? Say something. No, still not you. This is funny. Okay, keep going. It'll help if I turn your mic up.
Hello?
Actually, there you
are.
Yes. Hello. That's the man, Rich Lubonois. And then our guest is actually a qualified technician here. He's busy sorting out. He's here. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. Mojack, wow. Is it on loop? Is it just going to play the whole time? No. Okay. This is going to be interesting when it stops. Don't worry. I've got the other button here. I'm safe.
Hello, everyone.
I'm safe. Good morning, good people of the podcast. I nearly messed it up. I want to do it the way that we normally do it. So, Ryan, when does this podcast begin?
It starts just now.
Aish, there it is. There it is. Eric Janssen out here with a man again.
Rich Lou Bonnois.
It's another week of the takeover. Part two, baby. We got Rich Lou Bonnois in studio.
Yeah, man.
We got Ryan Holiday in
What's
studio.
What's up, everyone?
Hello. And
today, that lovely voice you are hearing as the fourth person is Mojack Lehoko.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
What's happening, guys?
It's great. Cool. They wouldn't trust me to run the desk.
I mean, if you want to be this side, I'm
if it's up to you guys, but I might take over. I literally might take over your takeover.
Oh, get in there.
Take over.
Yeah, you sure? You want me to run the desk?
That's get in there, bro. Man.
Okay, that's cool. Fine. I'm down. But I got to swap with someone.
No, you can swap with me. Good.
Cool. Okay, we're going to swap.
Who do you think you're going to swap with, Mojack?
The person behind the desk, probably. The most likely.
We're not going to fight, man. We want the show to run smoothly. If it runs smoothly, it is an amazing show.
Yeah, man. So there's been a floor shuffle whilst Well, that was happening. We have Mojack in the driver's seat.
Mojack is driving. We pulled over. We gave him the license and the steering wheel.
Yeah, man. So
we in the business.
If it goes pear-shaped, you know most.
Everyone's mic is on, right?
No, we chill. Keep our levels on the level,
off,
please, bro.
Four. The fourth one. Yeah, the fourth one from the left you can turn off because there's nobody sitting here. So
that would be mic one.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to mute that. Hello, everyone. You guys have to tell me how this works.
Okay, cool. So, Friday. What's happening, guys? What's been happening this week? Let's start with Rich Lou. What does your week look like from the last time we met?
Well, I had a chill week, bro. I was with you. We shot some couple of skits, that type of thing. Checked out some comedy. I haven't performed this week, mind you. I've been doing life.
Just chilling.
Yeah, which is it's always nice to do life because you realize that you forgot to do life because you're worrying about going to watch OJK performing, and then you wake up in the morning. And we were at the gaming festival last week, which was amazing.
Oh, yes.
How was the VS festival?
It was dope, bro. We got to spend 14 hours a day playing FIFA on the world's biggest TVs.
That sounds
amazing. And get paid.
Oh, really?
What a bad life, bro. Systems.
Checks were cut.
Games were good. There was whitewashers involved. Ricky Rick was there.
Ricky Rick
was Gaspar Noves.
How did that go?
Ricky won.
That way!
Yeah. He did the most. That was the most blessing thing I've ever seen somebody do on a stage.
Tell us more.
He got the crowd going, and then he just had the DJ play some random beat that everybody danced to. But he'd point in a direction, and he just shout, that way!
And then the whole crowd would move bro.
I do that at church all the time.
I don't ever steal.
It's time for your blessings. Where? That way! You've been here before. Every Sunday, we do the same thing. Into the hat, fool. Into the hat.
I don't ever steal bits, but I'm stealing that bit.
You're going to keep that one. Like, that way.
Everybody stand up, please. I just want to try something new here.
That way.
That way.
Everybody leaves. They're like, oh, shit. I can't get
damn it. You guys fucked up.
Ruining our fathers.
Ryan, what's been happening on your side of lives? No, he's off.
Are you off? Sorry, my bad. Go ahead.
Can you hear? Oh, there I am.
Sweet.
That's awesome. No,
that
one.
That's exactly what happens to the DA.
Yeah, we don't want to hear
just
that.
Just mute.
We're trying to hit these white people. Stop, bro.
Same like Richelieu, hey? Didn't perform this week. Watched some comedy. Worked. Because you know I'm on that employment loft, so.
Did human stuff.
Yeah. 9 to 5 bits. So that was my cool, very uneventful week. And you, Eric, what did you get up to this week?
This week I was also at home because there was a weird cold front that just hit out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
I don't perform when there's a cold front.
I don't watch the news. I don't like the weather. I'm just like,
it wasn't out of nowhere. It came
is,
from the southwest.
I know. Okay, look.
it always comes from somewhere.
I was going to say, where it came from, I wasn't aware of because I don't watch the weather. So I was just like, yo, this is unnecessary. On Monday night, I was dressed to go out. I walked out of the door, got to the gate, and then I was like, you know what? No.
It's
not okay. Happening. I'm going to go
inside.
Is that
what you call it when your father's like, Eric, you didn't wash the dishes?
Yeah.
No, that
your
was
dad's
that was,
name weather.
That was Tuesday. That was Tuesday.
Weather
Edward Janssen, yes. The main man himself.
That's dope, bro.
Yeah, so last night I went through to Parker's just for shits and giggles because I performed there last week.
Okay? Yes.
Last week.
You
last
get enough.
The run was nice. No, man, I wanted to see because we have this where the
you
open spots.
Everybody dies.
No.
Yeah, is this just is this an every week thing?
Yeah. No, man. What happens is sometimes the open spots don't rock up and then you score a free vibe. And it's the only like other gig on a Thursday that's supposed to be dope. And then last night both open spots rocked up, but one of them rocked up at like 9 o'clock, just before the second half started.
Oh,
then
snap.
I was like,
was he pumped?
Oh, no, he still performed. And then he did 8 minutes, which was too
long. Bongani Dube.
Kevin, who doesn't?
Just fired.
Pop, pop, pop. Just shooting peeps. Yeah, no, but it was different. And then Magic Man performed. He was up first. Gosinati Maki was in the middle and Celeste headlined. But
Gosinati Maki. I call him the anomaly because Maki's presence makes no sense, but he's always somewhere.
Yeah.
He's like you know the numbers in the Matrix. That's what Maki's like. I see him all the time, but I don't know what this is.
So you I feel like he's the guy reading the numbers. He's the only one that understands all of this.
Just saying 1-0, 1-0, 1-1-0.
Like, what's going on the screen? No, they're fighting over here. This is
he has a weird presence. And you, what have you been up to, bro?
I'm trying to write these new bits. It's coming together. Right. Some of them are cool, some of them are bombing hard. But if they bomb, I just blame the audience. Can I swear here?
Yes.
Not a fuck.
Don't fucking swear here.
This is radio.
So when bits bomb, I tell the audience they're pieces of shit. So
you don't do that, Mojack.
I do.
Mojack, please don't. You don't do
that. I do.
That's very Daryl Williams, dog.
No, no. What? Like, I got this. Okay, this is one. I go. And nobody loves it. This joke.
Wait, before you go,
like nobody.
Like Eric and Parker's last week.
Yeah. I mean him with his whole set.
Oh!
I'm talking about one.
It's a day of shots.
So, I say I watched the movie Black Panther, but I was disappointed because Huey Newton wasn't in it once. Exactly. And Huey Newton is the guy who started the Black Panthers.
You gotta have that knowledge.
I know that you have to have that knowledge.
What about Tupac's mother?
Yeah, that could be one.
Because everybody knows Tupac.
I finish a Kerr.
Yeah, because she was a Black Panther. Yeah. Or his father was a Black Panther.
No, you're right. She was a Black Panther. So I could say instead that.
Make it more palatable to the general. Because now you're like, but Dr. Smith wasn't in. You're like, who the fuck is Dr. Smith?
Yes.
But now when they get on the way home in a car, they're Googling. Like, oh, shit.
You said melatonin.
Did you let them know? Did you fill them in? Like,
no.
You explained to
That's
us?
That's why I just say you're a piece of shit. And this show is free, so I can say that.
You can actually.
Yeah.
You did.
At a free show, I can do what I like.
You're getting your money.
I mean, I still try to do. You know, like, I'm not there to shit on them. I'm still trying to do my bits, but that, once in a while,
because that leads me to a question which I actually wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Like the gags that you have to throw away.
Yes.
Like the one I posted on Facebook the other day, which I tried so many times but never worked. It was like when Indian people work out, they get a big chest.
Yes.
When colored people work out, they buy a new car.
Okay.
Because our fathers always works out, right? But nobody gets the fact that colored people. Parents work out. And I did it a lot of times, and like now I decided I have to throw it away.
I
read it and I was like, I don't. I'm like, I'm sure it's funny. Just,
it makes sense. Yeah. I get it.
It's almost like too many. Some jokes have too many steps to get to,
right?
Before it clicks.
Yeah.
So like you said, the Black Panther joke doesn't work because you have to know Huey Newton.
There's a lot of background work.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, it's not that your thing's not funny. It's like it would kill at the Black Panther convention.
Yeah, at Comic-Con, you're killing.
Not at Comic-Con, at like the actual Black Panthers. Where we were all wearing black leather berets.
Like, with Evanos and an Afro comb. You have to have an Afro comb to be a Black Panther.
Yeah, and an AK.
Now you're complaining at the thing because you're like, why did you guys change the symbol to hands over the chest
you see?
As opposed to hand up?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So that joke only works in 1978 with you and a finisher Kerr and Huey Newton like hanging out. They're like, I get it.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, if I could time travel, I'd go back in time and smack my mom. Like, no, I just want to go tell this one joke.
Yeah.
It's all I want.
So you're working a new hour?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to. It's like I don't work well if I don't have a goal. So I've had to, what I've done over the years is gone, I'm picking this day to do a one-man show.
Right.
Am I ready? No. But by the time it pops up, I hopefully will be. So
you're
that's the
ready.
Idea.
What's the date in your head?
Date, the 1st is September.
Okay.
This year, next year?
This year. September,
soon.
I need a new hour, a new wish hour. I think 45 30 to 45 minutes of it will be new, and some of it will be repurposed bits that didn't work before.
Yeah, that's nice. The one.
Yeah.
Put rims on it.
Yeah, I think like there's jokes we all wrote years ago, but that we just didn't know how to do comedy, so they bombed.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, yes. So it's like, I always say, like with new acts, it's like they're doing fourth year calculus, but they haven't done first year yet. So yeah. They just don't know what to do with the equations.
Cosine for what?
Yeah, they're like, what is trig, bro?
What is this derivative?
Bring the Lego. Like,
yeah.
You want me to turn down the bad music?
Yeah. Just a bit.
Okay. I got you.
There it is.
So good. Was that too much?
Just a little bit.
Because we want to hear what you're saying.
I'm fucking up. Like, I might kill it all together because you guys are sexy, boys. You see, like, I used to do that, and that had no context, so now I do it as part of another bit where my girlfriend
that's
and
exactly what we spoke about the last show. It's like,
yes,
you write a bit, and yeah, then you don't necessarily it's cut because it doesn't get laughs, or it gets 3 laugh, and you're always expecting a 7 out of 10 laugh, and you're like, fuck this thing, I need to make it better, or you just put it back into your bag, and then later on in life, you write a taxi about a gag about taxis, and then you're like,
all of a sudden.
Yes.
Hey. He fits in there.
Yes. Exactly.
And then another gag that used to be part of another gag, like, no, it doesn't even look nice in there anymore.
Yes. It's a horrible place for this gag. What's a good gag like you doing in a set like this?
Yeah.
Exactly. Get out.
Get out of this premise.
Repurpose you. Shine it, polish it, and then put it in somewhere else.
But nicer place.
Mojack, how do you approach a full hour? Do you say, okay, these are things I want to talk about, or is it just your best bits, or is there a theme? Or
it has to have a story.
Yeah, like some sort of continuity to it, or you know.
You know what I found? I found that once you start doing theme shows, you lock yourself into a particular idea or narrative, which means that you have to start writing about that subject. You know, like my first show was called "How Did I Get You," which was weird because like I'd already written bits of why I am the way I am. Like, I went to Northcliffe, I went to Vitz, so it was already part of that narrative.
Yeah. Nobody's supposed to be here.
Yes. So now I'm almost like not titling the shows until I have to go to print in inverted commas, until the posters have to be out. But I do have a feeling about the show that it's going to be about kind of relationships and race. I can already feel like that's where the show
predominantly about that.
Yeah, it's got that vibe, you know. Like I'll give you one bit because it's not gonna change anything. But I just go, my girlfriend's white. Don't panic, she knows. and she can get her hair done in Santon, Rivonia, Ilovo. I just get my hair done wherever there's a two-pin plug. Like, I go, is this a barbershop? No. Do you have a two-pin plug? It can go in there.
It has to go in there.
So I can repurpose ideas that existed in other places. But the idea is like our economics kind of dictate the lives we live. We see it as race, but it's really like
it's a LSM.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it's like, you know, if you make this amount of money and you stay in this area, this will be your experience, right? Where it's like, where if you live in suburbia, so it's just like about having access to certain things, and we had it later. Like Turkish eggs, I only had like for a few years ago.
Yeah, me Turkish delight only had like.
Okay, Turkish delight I had earlier. Okay.
I don't even know what a Turkish egg is. It's like an imported egg.
It's like a normal egg, but it's
so Turkish
from Turkey.
It's like, it's an exotic egg, man. It smokes hubby. No. Turkish egg.
Chicken on its day off.
Turkish egg is like a boiled egg and yogurt and like chili oil type.
Can
joint.
You do a food review? Dun, 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 dun. Hold your crew. You go with the food review. Tell us about the Turkish egg.
Turkish egg, boiled egg with yogurt and chili. No, it's like, so those are things that it's not like.
How was it? Don't go on without telling us how was it.
It was delicious.
In my head,
it sounds like breakfast and supper at the same time. Like, what is it?
It's delicious, but the whole idea is like, the reason you haven't had this thing is not. Are we clipping? The reason you haven't had a Turkish egg is not because you're like, you're unsophisticated or uncultured. It's just, no, it's. It's why just you something you weren't you didn't have access to you hadn't seen in your
and
life.
I personally still don't have access to it.
You can find Turkish like here's one. Maybe that's
how do you have your Turkish egg? Is it like well done? Like, is it like, how is it? It's a lot of information in there.
Yeah, that's
is
a lot.
We had a whole bunch of stuff, but it's not like new to you. Like, I went, okay, here's one. When I was in the UK, my girlfriend's cousins are Parisian. They've like lived their whole life in Paris, right? So they bring this thing to, on the table. It's a foie gras, which is goose liver pate. Yeah. Mm. But they asked me to dish up first.
And you have no idea.
Yes. One, I don't have idea. But two, I actually know exactly what it is.
A pate.
I've had liver paste. Yeah. I know what this is.
You just get a piece of cracker bread.
Exactly. And I put it on the joint. And they were like, how did you know? I was like, guys, you can't fool me.
Yeah.
Like, even if you've
if
never...
you didn't say pate at the end, I was fucked.
But no, they didn't say pate. They said foie gras. Yeah.
Oh, right.
But when I saw it, I was like, I know what this is, this right? Is, But it's the same way, like... We know what chorizo is, even though you might have never had it. Yeah. This is a Russian.
It's a Russian. But how?
don't.
It's round slices of Russian.
Yeah, don't fool.
But how funny would that have been if you didn't know it was pate and you cut like a slice, just this irrational bit of the food?
No, but I did cut a slice. That's how you eat goose. It's in like a block. I cut a slice. I put it on some like on like a baguette, and they were like, "Ah, this guy's had this thing before." I was like, "Nah, never in my life."
You know you're eating with French and there's a baguette around.
This is not, it's not Albani. This is
it's not even a baguette.
So that's the idea, that the new show is kind of like...
It's around that.
Yeah, you, how you grow up, your economics and how that changes. And now I'm like, I think the end of it will be like, so what happens is you become a snob after a while.
Do you write alone?
I do write alone. I recently sat down with a comedian, Tetson Gonzo, and all it was him giving me like a line. Like
ad-libs.
Yeah, so like one, and often I don't use the ad-libs.
Right, cool. Because I personally like do the same. Oh, obviously write along, because you got to get your, because the concept belongs to you.
Yeah, the concept belongs to you.
It's dear to you. Yes. But I find that I like to bounce off, because what I do is, like for my one man, I wrote with Neil Green. And,
yes.
Daryl Williams.
No.
Why are you so mad, man? Yo,
why are you going to be so salty, man?
Why are you going to be so salty, man?
So I wrote to Daryl, Glenn, and Neil. So what I did is I wrote the bits, and I like, these are the bits, raw bits. Like,
yes.
They some of them are shit, maybe to you. Because some things to you, like I believe, I wouldn't write it down if it's not funny.
Yes.
At some moments in your life. But then when you get home, like hours later, you're like,
what was going on in my mind?
Homeless people and cracker bread. Like, what? Where was I going with that?
Yes.
Weed. Sure. Am I right? Dacha.
Am I right? Yeah, you were high when you wrote that show.
But then you think about it after a while, like, and then it goes away from your mind. And then, like, 5 days later, you go, cracker bread. Now it comes back to you. Then if you send it to you, you'll be like, oh, shit, homeless people and cracker bread. That's so funny. And then, like, because that's what I find happens with all. So I don't send him my solid bits. I send him everything. The ones that I like, the ones that I don't like, everything. I just like, these are my notes.
That's interesting.
And then I break them up. And then we do it on Evernote or whatever. And then we work on the cloud in isolation.
So my process is like, I write an idea and I have to do it. And if it bombs, I have to figure out why it bombs.
Yeah, because it's also energy, right?
Yes, because I mean, so when you do the bit for the first time, you really don't know how to do it. And even when you do know how to do a bit, you should sometimes actually play with it. Like,
in your mind, it makes sense. But when you're standing and delivering it, you have to
Because I've done bits in autopilot where like it's killing, but I'm hating it.
That's your old bits, right?
Yeah, like there's lots of old bits where I'm like...
When everybody's laughing, you're busy sighing.
Yeah. They're like, yo, what the fuck's wrong with this dude?
What a bummer.
Yeah,
what a funny bummer.
Yeah,
bummer.
Like we're killing ourselves. This Oak's like, he wants to look at his phone or something. So I write a bit. The audience is my barometer. If a bit doesn't work, I try to figure out why. And then rework it. Sometimes you can tell immediately, like, where you go, oh man, that was too strong, or that was in the wrong place. Or someone will tell me, you did that bit differently from last week. And I go, what do you mean?
And you don't even notice that.
Yes. Eh? They go, you left out this phrase, which is integral to, like, the idea.
It's amazing how one word can can redirect the entire bit to death.
Yep. Yeah, totally, man. You can bomb off just like leaving out an idea. So I write in isolation. I do this stuff on stage. Even this thing, like I'm saying with Tats, it's maybe the first time in a year that I've really actually showed anyone my work.
Yeah.
I'm always like...
It also feels like a constant state of exams.
Those are mine.
How so?
Because what happens is, as the comic writing the bit, you don't want to show the dude like, yo, look, this is what I wrote down. What do you think of this?
Sure.
Because you feel that like they're going to judge you because of what you've...
No,
especially if you haven't done the bit yet. If you're like, this is still an idea I plan on doing.
Then they go, yeah, but that's not funny. Then you're like,
well. Yeah, I feel very vulnerable about saying, oh, this is the idea I have.
Sure.
I don't know if that comes with experience. Rishi, you seem to be far more comfortable in telling people if they don't like it, you kind of have like a well, whatever, kind of, maybe it doesn't work.
Or Mojack yelling them that they're shit.
Yeah. But I'm very vulnerable to tell people ideas because it's kind of like...
To give advice to talking about...
Yeah. Show them the bits. Like
show them
saying,
the bits.
And then have them say, no, I don't think that's good. There's like a lot of vulnerability there. Yeah, and I would struggle with that.
But most of the time people don't say that and then I don't trust them.
So like they don't say what?
Like it's shit. Like,
funny.
I want to do this thing about a grandfather, and then he went to work on a bicycle, and he fell off the bicycle, whatever, and then they were like, let's try that, but
you know
they
what?
Don't say it's shit. They're just like, you should.
Yeah, try. You must try.
Or why don't you just make him wear a cap?
Yes.
A corduroy pants.
Yeah, then you're like,
so for me, like, because I'm trying to get into directing, so I don't, whenever someone's like, I've got this bit, my brain gets primed, and it almost, like, switches off from laughter and then goes to analysis.
Like every comic watching comedy.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah. But when people tell me their bits, I'm not even looking for the laugh. I'm looking for like...
The ad-libs, the off-ramps.
Like
the,
a spark.
What you can add on. That's
true.
That's why you must add... Not I do, honestly, Ryan is like, I used to do it a lot before. Mm. Just slip your bit into conversation. Out. So that's what Eric and I do. So Eric and I sit and write. Instead of us saying, listen, I've got a gag about thing, then you just go, what's up with the fat people, bro? And then you just do, and then you start laughing.
Whatever the topic is, we go with as much as we can about it.
So we just push into that thing. So like, you know how it is when you're laughing with your friends. So you talk about, like maybe we're teasing somebody, Ryan, whatever. Then everybody will have something to say about that topic.
Yeah.
Because
it's
free.
And then I feel you. And then the energy again is... You know, obviously, if you like listen to this, there's no energy, but
if
you're building
energy.
Up in conversation.
But if it's in conversation, that's what we do. So we look at the notes, I look at my notes, and we're chatting. Then it'd be like, yo, so I got pulled over by the police last week. And then this happened. And then it becomes a conversation.
So obviously, based on the conversation, even if it's a shared experience,
developed
then
a bit
it
like
becomes
this.
A bit like
Dope, you and I wrote a bit like this. The basketball
the slow motion. Yes, I remember. We were in a Braamfontein in that parking lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people's process is different. There's this comedian from here who now lives in New York. His process is like crazy, right? But what I realize is that we all work to like our strengths, right? Yeah. So I have a bad memory.
Me too. Right? I can't remember my 10 minutes.
Yes.
Like, get up, I'm like, I'm going to start with that.
So
the grandpa on the bicycle with the hat.
Yeah, like, there's this idea. Sorry, guys, give me 2 minutes. So that's why I have to be precise in how I write because I'm going to forget. Right. So I have to go back to those notes.
Weave it up.
Yes, we're like there's some acts where their brain works in a way like I'm gonna say his name, Trevor. Trevor can hear an idea a few times and commit it to memory. Right, like really quickly.
Right.
This is a guy, remember he's got 10 different South African specials.
Right.
I don't think that's something you can just do without like a certain otherness about you.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so he's like really good, at like just committing an idea to memory, polishing it, and he also works in the world of hours.
Got a file of X going on in his head.
Yeah, but he works in the world of hours. He doesn't do 15-minute slots.
Right, that's the thing. Because one bit means nothing.
Do you know what I mean?
You need like another 45 to go along with it before you can consider it to be a bit.
Yeah. He kind of wrote a show in 3 weeks. An hour show that was like played to 39,000 people.
Right.
Which I don't think, I don't work in that fucking world.
Nope.
By any means. Like, yeah. I'm a slow worker. I'm precise in my machinations. And some weeks I'll have nothing. But by the time it's out, it's like, this is clean. This is polished.
And then, nice.
And you did some bits overseas, right?
Yes.
What's the difference, like, between performing here and performing overseas? Like, what is the major...
Firstly, what's the difference in, like, the vibe and in what's
the difference
in you?
So I'll tell you this. I played a lot of bar gigs in the U.S. in particular. These are kind of, like, free shows that are produced by other comedians, but they do have build lineups. So you'll play like in the Village, Grizzly Pear is a place I'm familiar with. So all these places, like when you walk in, it's a bar. But as you work further into the establishment, it's a room that has a stage
All right.
and seating. What I found is, I guess, but nicer. But nicer and without pastries.
So kitchen is
but less grungy.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Kitchen we're trying to find a reference that everybody can.
It's nothing like you guys know.
Yes, guys, you've never seen the shit, okay?
Kitchen is less kitchen.
It's like Cresta in the barnyard. No. You've never seen the shit I'm telling you about. So these bar gigs are free. I mean, it's working acts, you know. And I was finding that the audiences were laughing at weird parts of certain jokes.
Okay.
And again, to reference the guy, Trevor and Kibuka were like, these audiences have a different rhythm. Because I watch New York acts and I'm very confused. I can hear people laughing, but I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Are you not lost? What do you mean? Like,
I just don't get the way they speak.
Oh, right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you should give us an example of how they
do. Like, they speak English, but in a repurposed way.
Yeah.
You know, like, our thing. Even the way I'm saying our thing is like...
Yeah. But we sound like the Queen's English when you get to America. Or do they, like, think that you're speaking, like, this
Posh.
Very clean... posh type of English, whereas they like just rolling through with the English. Man.
I just think we use the languages in such a different way. Like
their start and stop on gags are a lot different to ours.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
So like their premise has like three breaks where yours would have one.
It's alliteration.
Just well, not really. It's hard to explain, but they've also given up on like setup punchline.
Yeah.
So they do this weird because they've had comedy so long, they've broken it to the point where it's like. It's this anti-comedy where the punchlines are in weird places, the references are obscure, I can see the audience laughing, but
okay,
I'm like...
Okay, so it is appealing to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a different kind of comedy, one that's evolved to the point where they've broken it. This is some of them. This is like this bar circuit and all this cuck. And so I found that, one, I was telling Tuts this week, I'm not trying to take jokes I wrote in South Africa to these Americans.
Right.
Because they just don't have
a point of...
Yeah, they don't have a point of reference. They have no idea. There's one joke I did there. This is my body. Where they laughed at a different place. Then I was like, wow,
when
okay.
Because they don't understand the whole
yes.
thing, right?
So then that throws you off in the act. Because you're like, no, man, the joke is here.
Why are you fucking around?
Yes, yeah. They're like, no, my friend, the joke is at this last line over here, right?
And you start doing random
like, well, let me finish.
Yes. I'm like, wait, what are you guys doing? Wait, hold up. You're playing this game wrong.
Yo,
yes. Stop doing scissor kicks at the halfway line.
Did someone heckle? What's going on?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So what I did is I started writing bits that only work in those places. I'm trying to build a New York set that I do in New York, and then my South African shit I do over here, because it's just going to drive you crazy trying to explain baloney. Do you know what I mean?
Jerky.
Yes.
What they call it?
They call it like they baloney.
Yeah, baloney. Jerky is a biltong, yeah?
Yeah, even that's not biltong. It's like boiled meat and
it's
shit.
Gross.
Yeah, it's like fucking. So I've given up on the idea of trying to have bits that translate in South Africa and New York. I'm just going to write for both of those worlds.
Oh, yeah.
And I realize we're all comedians. The fact that you can write a joke about Durban and about Joburg means that you can adapt.
I want to write a set for escorts.
Like the area
take over escorts
where they eat other humans.
Yeah, like
it's
exactly.
A nice niche there in escorts.
Jesus. Yeah, if you bomb there, they eat
I'm
you.
I'm planning to. Yeah. Trying to do Newcastle.
You're shit, but you tasted amazing.
Newcastle. They're delicious.
But not Newcastle, obviously. Newcastle.
And with the.
in case it is.
About Juba Hills.
That's funny.
Were the New York audiences hardcore in terms of heckling? Because I think South Africans are generally like nice people.
Nah, they weren't. They're pretty polite. They're nice. And New York audiences aren't really like New Yorkers even.
Yeah, okay.
It's people from like Florida and people on. If you go in the summer, if you go to New York in the summer, you're not playing to New Yorkers.
Yeah.
You're playing from people who've come on summer holiday from Europe, who've like.
Saudi.
You know, French and
Dubai.
South America. Yeah, you're not. So it's like.
Suarez.
Yes.
Now you're just naming people.
Yeah, you're saying random international names. Dunkirk. What?
Macintosh.
Versailles.
They're all there.
Yeah. So
watching.
It's like, yeah, because the people are, because they're not, so I haven't played like the Gotham comedy clubs. Even the Cellar and those places, at a certain point, it's just internationals. And it's like, you know, how do you navigate that? New York is not really a city. I've been thinking about this. New York is not a city for New Yorkers.
Like London.
Yeah, and the Joburg. Joburg's Joburg. Not a city for people of Joburg.
None of us here are from Joburg.
I'm from Joburg. Well, and I'm like...
Associate.
Oh, okay.
I'm from... Oh, Never mind.
Yeah, they were bombing yesterday.
Yeah, man. People are heisting again.
Yeah. People are heisting while we're telling you.
So that's familiar to me. Like, people are heisting. My grandmother lived next to a bank in Katlehong.
Yo.
It's a Standard Bank. And in the 90s...
It sounds scary. Just automatically, I'd rather stay next to a police station.
Yeah. 90s, every couple of weeks was like, bombings. Boom, 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 boom. You know, like, schools have drills for when there's fires?
Yeah.
We had, like, just internally created a drill.
Bank robbery.
Yes. When you hear a gunshot, go to the back room, lock the door, wait. So the one day you saw, like, a dude run through the yard with, like, a pistol, jump, like, the fence... Like, it was weird because we had Fruity Loops in the back room, but it wouldn't switch off. You know, back like those old PCs, they took long to shut down.
So yeah. Those sick beats and stuff.
So we're like trying to switch off the. We're like, yeah, I'm like, Dodo, switch off the machine, bro. And the dude's running. He's running across while like this beat's playing.
Yeah, beat's playing. No, it's our.
I was standing by the window, bobbing.
No, it's cinematic music.
So it was like, bum, 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 gunshot. Okay, run here, lock the door, wait till them mans go through the area.
In the back room, was it?
No, that day it was just because that was the closest door, if that makes sense.
All right.
So instead of the main house, it was closer to run to
the room,
the back room. You know what I mean? If you were in the outside toilet, then you would have ran to that and just like latch that.
If you're in outside toilet, don't move.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the idea is just like just sit tight till they.
Yo, that's hardcore though, bro.
Which is a crazy thing, but that was normal. Like, you know, that's the interesting thing I'm talking about this new show is like...
Yeah, you can't just say that though. People, that's not normal
that's
for
normal
everybody.
That's normal for everybody,
yeah. Yeah, but that's the point of this new show.
Yeah.
Is that what we've all come to think is the norm in our lives is not... Yeah, like, in my crash, they used to wake us up with a toy Uzi. That's not...
That doesn't seem emotionally scarring.
I have no idea why.
That's what I'm saying, like...
With water?
No, it was just, it made the sound like,
everybody up.
Yeah, it's like.
Yo, what, did it go to a white?
No, it's like, this was in the hood, right?
But, no.
I'm like, who does it?
No one should see that.
You know, it's going to condition you guys for later on in life.
Prepare you for this tough world, man.
You'll be sleeping. That can happen.
See, but that's the point. Like, that's so mad. Many things that we've come. I was sitting with Lars and someone end of last year. And I was saying, like, this idea that our parents used to, like, smack us and we go, yeah, but look at us now. It's like, that's a fucking horrible way to justify getting beaten as kids.
Hey, but me, are you lying? You have to hit kids, bro.
Nah, you see, but I disagree with that.
You wait. Wait until your PlayStation controller is getting flung at the TV.
Nah, but that's like, it's traumatic, right? Because I got a little brother and
you
my mom's. Nah, my mom's don't really hit him, man. I like... There was one day my little brother and my mom's were having this major argument. You know, like, he was kind of...
Something you'd never do.
I mean, I've asked...
Because you got beat. Because, I got beat, but we never would argue with them either. You would say two lines,
I argue with my mom's when I was a little bit older, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
but
when you're in debt, yeah.
So the Monday when my mom's was having this crazy argument. You know, my mom's bugging out, he's bugging out. And, like, I can see they're about to rumble. And I was like, yo. So I said to my little mans, I'm like, yo, get the fuck. Like, get out. Like, go stand there.
Everybody freeze.
You right? I tell my moms, please go stand there. And I was like, okay, everybody needs to pipe down. Take a few seconds. And she's like, he's wrong. So I'm like, okay, I hear exactly what you're saying. Uh-huh. So the idea was, like, mediation, right? Because there's an alternative way of conflict resolution.
Right.
I get this idea, like, we all got smacked, man. I've never lost a jersey because one day I got jet lead.
Dude.
After
let it be known that I used to go and take, you know, those lost and found jerseys.
Yes,
I'd take any jersey just so that when I get home, like, you go over a lost and found, you're like, lost my jersey, what color is it? Then you just try and peek into the pocket.
Yes,
it's green.
It's green.
Then you put it on, it's like under your nipple.
Yes,
not this green.
Yes,
the green.
Gray one.
You got a boob tube now.
Then when you get home, my mother's like, whose jersey? No, I left my jersey to John, and John gave me his jersey.
Yeah.
Yo, bro.
Not this green, the gray one.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm colorblind. Yeah.
Sorry, Ma, I forgot to tell you, I'm colorblind. All the time I said I like red, I was lying. I've just been seeing gray the whole time.
Okay, so it was the mediation thing, and
so the point is that, like, as I got older, I was like, you know, Loic Gwala talks about unlearning, and as I've gotten older, I'm like trying to unlearn a lot of things that I was taught as a kid, like, you know, without turning my back on certain ideas. Because I will say this, I always go, like, the township taught me a lot about how to maneuver in society, right? Like, so by the time I was like 16, I was like, that's kind of bullshit. This is kind of dumb. I still did it, but it helped me. But there was also stuff in the hood where I'm like, this was a total disservice. Like, this, like,
didn't help me.
Yeah, we didn't need the sewage to be running next to our crib. You know what I mean? Like, I can shut out noise because at my grandmother's house, every day at 5:30, the taxis would start hooting.
Oh, right.
To get customers.
Yeah, also grew up on the main
road. You know what I mean? So, like, one day somebody called me at my grandmother's house and they were like, fam, why is it so loud there? Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about?
I am here.
Yeah. Because it's beep, Wait, feel.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? Then they're like, why are there people shouting? And then I looked outside. I said, oh, you mean those guys? No, man, that's just the crew. Yes. I mean, they're just part of the neighborhood.
That's true, though. Yeah. Because now when I go home, I grew up in my parents' house, the now when I get there, I can't sleep because it's on the main road. So the car's constantly going past.
Sure.
Taxis in Durban, they hoot, but they also play the loudest music. I'm talking about the window rattling.
Sure.
Every 3 minutes that happens. But I'm laying in bed thinking, how did I do this?
Yes.
Because now I'm staying in a villa.
There
it is. My neighbors have pension. All of them.
Cheers, sir.
So I'm like the loudest in our block. Like literally, my car's the loudest, my iPod's the loudest, my voice is the loudest.
My footsteps are the
everything
loudest.
Of mine is the loudest. So
I
like,
can't creep
if
this
I
place.
Keep quiet,
my
it's
microwave.
Quiet. Yeah, no, don't talk about my washing machine. Like everyone's like, oh shit, his washing's done.
No, but now that you mention it, I'm also thinking about the fact that I live in an area that is close to the airport. So every 4 minutes,
you hear a plane, fam.
No, every 4 minutes, a plane is crossing over. So we've adjusted to it so well.
You just stop talking,
that,
right?
Yeah, we just keep quiet for that time. We're just okay, cool. Let's just.
And that's cool.
Yeah, here we go.
In Durban, that's what it is because my in Wentworth.
The plane
used to come literally like almost
the old airport.
Yeah, the old airport.
Yeah, I remember that old
and
airport.
And if you're not from here, it was weird because I'd be talking to him, but everybody just goes quiet. Then you're like, and then everyone goes like, start again.
Bro. Yes.
Then you're like, but when they talking, they just go and then.
They sit tight. Yeah.
Okay, and then they carry on talking, but it's a
they
mindset.
Know. They know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You even put your head down a bit, like, hey.
So we've been.
I might get knocked if my neck is upright.
That's a 737.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's a Boeing.
You start knowing the planes.
Yeah. You wake up to the 5 o'clock flights. Oh, the international flights always wake me up.
Yeah.
That's your alarm bell, my friend.
That 3 o'clock cargo plane fucking up my night, man.
But, The train also go. Oh, dude.
So you know what I mean? Like you make mental adjustments, but you're not aware of it. So a lot of us in life have like made adjustments, and we don't know why we do that shit anymore. We don't know. Like even I was saying to someone like when you get older, you know you have heard the idea of winner's remorse,
right? Mm-hmm.
The idea that like if there's a group of friends and you become successful in that friend group. Then you start like policing how you talk about your success so that you don't make the people around you feel.
Yeah, you have to come in the Figo and leave the Range Rover at home.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Because guys.
But do you know what I mean? It's like.
Funny. Yeah, yeah. It's
like you go somewhere and you're like, yo, why am I dressing like this? Why am I dressing down?
It's because of how you grew up.
Yeah, but why? Why do you feel that guilt? Why do you feel bad about having gotten out or succeeded in your life?
And they
or have left, or you're with the same people you were with before.
Like, that is true.
So a lot of the show is like trying to dig into the brain and go.
Do you have homies that are still in the hood?
You know what?
When you go there and you see them, you're like, yo.
You know what's messed up about this is going really deep now, but I stayed at my grandmother's house and it was like a family house, you know, with the back room and extra whatever.
Yeah.
And it was myself, my grand, my cousin, her kid, and someone else. But what happened, this is so crazy, in like a space of 2 to 3 years, my grand, my uncle, and my cousin passed away from the same like crib, right?
Right.
So every time I go back, it's like, shit, where is everyone? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like
this empty place now.
Yes, yes, because you remembered it being like...
It was like live.
A hub. Yeah. Yeah. Like a hub of activity.
People. So even like I look at the plants and be like, yo, man, my grandma's around. We had like rosemary. She had a peach tree. She had grapes. She had like fucking maybe pumpkins growing, roses. There was aloe. Like it was, like, and it's not a big yard, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we had all the stuff, some patch of green grass. And I think that was the one of the tough things. But I'd already kind of, you know, drifted away. And but I went to a funeral this weekend. I was in kind of in Tlapo Shongweni section. And it was good to be back, bro. It was like, it's like, yo, this is fam, you know?
Yeah.
We grew up together. You know, like I used to, my mom used to tell me when I was a kid, I used to go to this relative's house. And we'd already kind of started moving out, and they used to make porridge, umtogo.
Yeah, we.
And I used to get all the other kids together and start a protest, like like a march, and I'd be like, "Pansing umtogo, pezulu nge rice krispies," like downward porridge, upward rice krispies.
No longer.
Yes. I used to do that, like as a child, like as a 5-year-old.
So that bit, you see, that bit lasted.
No, but I mean. Like, as a kid, I used to be like, guys,
that bit all the way to last
I'm
year.
No, I used to go, we refuse to have this shit.
Yeah.
And did it work? Yeah. Or did you eat that
People
porridge?
Were like, this kid is starting trouble for us. They used to tell my mother, yo, this kid is like, messing with the other kids.
Yeah, no, because now you've gone back.
Yes. Because now they're like, he's asking for Rice Krispies. We don't have this shit, but now I've seen that world.
You know what that is like when you go on vacation holiday with your family and your cousins. Now we're all going to, I don't know, Margate.
Yes, yes.
And then you come and then my family and then your family. But when you get there, my mother buys Rice Krispies like you're saying. And your mother buys the...
Like
ShopRite brand
from Neutro.
But now when you get there, the first thing you eat, you give him. Now you're getting sad. Now you're looking around. Like, why is everyone eating our Rice Krispies?
Yeah.
Man?
It's like, come on, fam. You guys don't know about this life.
Yeah.
You ain't about this life.
The whole holiday, you can just see that no name brand is on the shelf. Like, you need to go get more Rice Krispies. Like, bro, but you never eat your cornflakes.
Yeah. I don't play this game. It's like, so we had this funeral this weekend, right? And it's like, you know, it's after tears time now. You everyone sits down and has alcohol to celebrate the life. I just did air quotes if you're listening.
Yeah.
And
just to follow you.
I know how audio works. So my dad, what happened with my dad is people would be like, yo, what are you guys drinking? You know, and he'd be like, yo, we're just having the bells, you know, like we keeping it.
We're
not trying to be fancy. In his own capacity, he'll have like some fun rants, some Johnny Walker Black.
Oh, in his
Black.
Spare time, yeah.
Yeah, but he's like.
When you go out, you take out the coffee.
Yeah, he's like, yo, man, I kind of don't know you cats.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, and bells will show you flames, huh?
Yeah, I'm not going to bring out like the VSOP. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. And sometimes people are snobby, like, oh, you guys having bells. It's like, no, we hanging out, bro. Yeah. So it's interesting how sometimes you have to bring yourself down with this winner's remorse thing,
yeah.
And sometimes you just gotta stunt on the motherfucker and be like, yo, son,
come here, gift packs to the funeral.
Yo.
I got 2 Johnny Blue Label gift packs, son.
Because
that's what happens, like, amongst us. Like, I was actually saying this the other day, like, dudes would like, remember how Jack Daniels used to be. It used to, like, if you, like, back in the day, if you drank Jack Daniels, it was like you were drinking the most expensive.
Yeah. Craziest thing.
Yeah, like, they didn't read out.
Which was very weird.
Be like,
yeah.
But once said to the dude, he was like, you know, he looks around, he sees like 6, and then over-pouring.
Yes,
then
yes.
He looks around, he's like,
over-overing.
Have you ever bought a Jack Daniels?
Yeah.
I was like, yes. No. Get out of there. I'm like, now, you know, what do you say, bro? It's not your Jack Daniels.
Yes,
it's
yes.
He's, now it's like, okay, sharp. I'll go get ice.
What else can we from the store?
Yeah, bro.
Put it back in the box, man.
It's crazy. It's like, so I'm this new show is like trying to
repack it.
is go, why do we behave the way we behave, and why all my material is actually about asking the question why.
Elements.
You right?
Mojack in elements.
It's like Miss Twyla. Why did Miss Twyla speak like that? You know about the education bit. Why? Yeah. It's like, why?
Put it in a.
Because why leads you to other ideas.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the idea for me, at least. I
by
mean,
children. I love by children.
By children.
You have to put it in, bro.
That one's old. I got
it
a can.
It is old,
that.
But it's so dope.
I mean, you
just
know.
The word by children.
In
like in isolation. It just makes me happy.
I met that teacher in Nelspruit, Mrs. Like, Zwane. She was there.
I'm
at
one
the
of
show.
The children.
It was weird. Here's another thing I've been thinking about. How weird is it to do bits about people that actually
that you know.
are in your life or are in the world.
Yes.
Because I listened to the Stuart Lee podcast and he was like, he's a big act and he can talk about maybe his kids and like his, and their teachers, but he's like, yeah, man, those people are in the world.
Yeah.
They're going to now be in the, you know, in the ether of like, You're gonna
they also immortalized in your material.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that changes how people interact with those people. Because if I do a bit about Richelieu or whatever, and I, whether it's complimentary or weird, when people see you, they've been primed to think of you in a certain way.
Yeah. Hey, are you Miss Antil?
Yes. Then it's like,
hey, you know what this is?
You know this is Antil.
From Jack's gang. Gritas, come on, Gritas.
You know? Because that person's still living.
Carry on.
Yeah, they're still living. So I, for a long time, I haven't done bits about my girlfriend, but now I'm like, you know, it's cool. I'm gonna.
I've personally.
Bits about Mojack's girlfriend.
I always do bits about his girlfriend.
Yeah, all the time. It's great.
As long as
it's funny, guys.
Yeah,
that's my rule.
Do it for the jokes.
But I don't. I also don't do like bits of people that I know because of the same thing. It's always been kind of weird.
Yeah.
I find that personal interactions with people, I always endear them as just that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because people are crazy in this world, bro.
Sure.
Like, every single day you meet somebody that could be a gag.
Yes.
One person.
Yeah.
But you don't because it's like, it's life. And then you just carry on going with your life. Because I've noticed, like, nowadays, if I interact with somebody, when I leave, they will be laughing or smiling, even if it's not intentional.
Yes.
It just happens because that's how you, I guess, your mind is primed as well.
I feel you. What's ironic is the people that go, you can use this, are the ones who are not interested.
The worst case. The worst.
Oh, you can use this in your show. Cool. Fuck off, you're a bookkeeper.
Let me get my pen and paper and write that down. Yeah, what is it again?
How do you make rice pudding?
Turkish eggs?
Yes. Fuck off from here. You're the most uninteresting person at this fucking party and you drink too much.
Yeah.
That is
and they're always holding a glass.
Yeah.
And the glass is always bumping into your chest as they're talking to you. Yeah, Peter, you're very funny. Yeah.
Now you got drops of light all over your jacket.
It's so close, like, they're practically licking your fucking eardrum.
But people also disrespect you, man. The one day I was chilling and then a guy walked up to me. I was drinking a glass of for the story shall remain whiskey.
Yeah.
And this guy comes walking up to me and he's like, oh, and he sees me and he starts chatting and he's got a beer in his hand.
Yeah.
Chucks his beer into my whiskey.
Ah.
Like, how disrespectful is that? But I, like, I'm standing there like,
yes.
That's like stepping on your shoes.
And the thing is, he sucked me in. It's like, you know, someone's about to rob you. Like, they're like working into the world. And he's talking. I'm like, and he's like talking a bit softly. So I'm also kind of listening. Then I'm like, and also on my shoes.
He does that.
And I'm with my wife and I look over and I'm like, I can't let this shit happen to me.
Yes. People try to test you, man.
That's
the one thing I hate about comedy is like, because we're all, to a certain extent, public figures. So it's like, hey, what's up, my man? Like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Yes, that's also the weird thing. Everybody's kind of familiar. Like,
yeah.
They look at you and smile.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how's
you?
Like, yo, can I have this chair? Oh.
So I have this habit. Yeah.
Oh, cool, man.
So I'm constantly introducing myself to people that I've met a bunch of times.
Yes.
And they get so salty. And I want to often be like, do you know last night I was in front of 50 different people?
Yeah. I have a new thing. I act familiar with Nonke.
No, but you can
when a guy comes in and he goes, yo, what's up, dog? I just go, yo, cool, man. I don't introduce myself. Like, even like, brother, oh, can know me, not know me.
Just carry
on. If we're doing an interaction, I just go with it.
Carry on.
I struggle, man.
I just slide with it. And comes up to you, smiles like, yo, man. I just go, how we? And then, sharp up, oh, sharp up, oh, sure, sharp. Then, like, who's that?
That shit changes when you get
mugged. We both don't know.
When you get what?
When you get mugged, that shit changes very quickly. Ah, bro, if take.
Of course.
Obviously, because we grew up in the hood. We know. We know.
The signs.
God's up, God's down.
Yeah. You kind of. It's like,
what is the time now? Is it 5-2?
Close.
Yeah, 5-2.
Yeah, we need to do a quiz, bro.
Tell us more.
The quiz. You get quiz. Generally, what is it? 4 out of 10 is the average.
The average is
probably even lower than that.
Yeah, it's lower than that.
Prince got 4.
One person has gotten 10 out of 10 so far. Prince got 4. Nick got 5. Who else was here?
There were 3. Sahail, 3.
Sahail was here. Sahail got 3.
Sahail doesn't. He's actually at home now waiting to do it with you. So.
I'm getting so nice.
First caller. Caller number 1, Sahail.
My dick's in here. You're going to say, what?
Cool. So that's
so because we like music. I actually thought we'd talk about a bit about music because I also love music.
Yes.
But we didn't get that.
We
didn't actually
get that,
very interesting bits that we got to get through.
My bad.
Yeah, you'll be back, right?
Salute.
So let's. We got a basically a musically inclined.
Yeah, for you it's musically inclined because we know you are a man of music.
Oh, that's gonna be bad. I don't remember shit.
<It'd be dope. laughs>
Okay, cool. So, first question is, what was the name of Grandmaster Flash's band?
The Fabulous.
Close.
The Fantastic.
Close.
That's to push you for time.
Fabulous Five. Fantastic Five. Fabulous Five.
Furious Five.
But Furious Five.
That was so close.
We'll give you that. We'll give you that. Coolio says he's what age in the song Gangsta's Paradise?
16?
Nah, 23 is the answer. Okay, cool.
I can't even think of. You know every lyric, but you can't think of that.
Yeah.
Give me a sec. According to Eminem, who don't got a cuss in his raps to sell records?
Will Smith and
my man, fuck you too, my bum is on your lips.
Yeah.
mixing it with pot, the Young Outlaws claim to have smoked the ashes of which cremated leader of theirs?
Say that one more time.
Mixing it with pot, the Young Outlaws claim to have smoked the ashes of what cremated leader of theirs?
It can't be Puck, is it?
That is the answer.
Yeah,
actually.
We used to rap with Puck. Yeah.
Well done, well done.
Yes.
Who played Mr. Jones in the 2000 film Charlie's Angels?
Mr. Jones?
Yeah. It's music.
Just Mr. Jones. Yeah, Mr. Jones. In Charlie's Angels, the original.
Yes.
Fuck.
Pause.
Hayes. I don't know.
Okay, cool. Pause. It was LL Cool J.
Oh. Jesus. Never thought of that one.
Rick Rubin started which record label specializing in
Def Jam?
Swag. Unfinished Business is the title of the collaboration album released by Jay-Z and which other hip-hop artist?
That sounds like R. Kelly.
Correct.
We have to wrap up soon.
Which of these did not feature on Eminem's The Slim Shady LP album?
Which of these?
Wow, it said which of these on the website. So,
what options?
You
have to give me the options.
Down. I'm gonna choose the wrong song, so fuck that question.
Just don't you have to say all of them and I'll tell you which one?
There's no list, it's just the answer. That's what I'm saying. What else? Boys in the Hood was the debut solo album of which rap artist?
Your Boys in the Hood. Tiki little boys in the hood. Fuck, that sounds like not Cube.
You close.
Boys in the Hood. Tiki little boys in the hood. I know this, man.
It's four.
It's like one of those West Coast motherfuckers.
One.
Like an easy or something.
You got it on the one. You see, the countdown always motivates you.
Little boys in the hood.
Come on, easy, get up those keys. Cruising down the streets.
What else? One more?
Yeah.
One more.
Last one. How many more?
What was the title of the compilation album released by 50 Cent in 2003?
Compilation album by 50 Cent in 2003. Compilation.
I don't even know he's done a compilation.
What was
50 Summer Jams?
The only thing was like a soundtrack for the movie. He didn't do it.
The greatest hits. I don't think 50's got a greatest hits.
Sounds like all I can think of is the Get Rich or Die Trying soundtrack.
Which no. It says the album's name is 24 Shots.
Fuck me, when did he do that? I don't know, man. It sounds like a mixtape.
We all learned something today.
We should not copy.
Is that
10
questions?
Google. I think so. Is that 10? Were you keeping going?
No.
Just okay, bonus question.
For 2 marks.
On the hit B.O.B. by Outkast, what did B.O.B. stand for?
Bombs over Baghdad.
Boom.
On that bombshell.
On that motherfucking bombshell.
Play us out to the.
Play some jams for us.
You want me to play out some music?
Turn up the.
Anything by Brenda Fassie.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, wait. I gotta find something now.
That's hilarious.
Give me a second. It's been a while.
Do you in the meantime, man. That's cool. That's cool. To everybody that has WhatsApped us today, we apologize for not reading those. But next week, we will read all of them. Not this week's, obviously, if you email us. I mean, WhatsApp us again next week. We will read them. We vow. But keep tweeting. You have us on the Twitter spaces. You can follow everybody in the room. Mojack is at Mojack Lihoko. Ryan
Correct.
Holiday is at Ryan James.
1987.
1987.
Why Ryan Holiday? That's why I couldn't find pictures of you. Because you have an alias.
My surname's Holiday. It's just on social. There was another Ryan Holiday, so I went with James.
Yes, because I googled Ryan Holiday and I found some Hollywood guy.
And then,
Rich Lou. He like, that's not him.
Rich Lou B.
Rich Lou Bonner, that's Rich Lou B.
R-I-C-H-E-L-I-E-U.
B.
That is the man over there. I am Eric J.G. Janssen. But wait, before we go, the other important thing to do is all of you have to say goodbye yourselves as well.
Bye. Mojack, Lugo, thank you for tuning in. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
Ryan Holiday. Cheers, everyone.
Eric Janssen, we will see you again just now.
This is CliffCentral.com.